this side of the second coming of Christ, this side of heaven, he can touch us and make us whole. That's part of the good news. Not only is Jesus coming again, and it's going to be beautiful and wonderful, but we can have a touch of heaven right now in Jesus. And may he touch your life is my prayer, if he hasn't as yet. Well, we have a theme song that we've been singing. Oh, lots of music. I've just enjoyed singing and the songs. And as you open your bulletins, right there near or just above the calendar of events is a theme song. And I want to invite you to join me. I don't want to sing it by myself. I want you to join in me and sing it a cappella with me, My Home's in Heaven. Let's go. My home's in heaven, just waiting for me. And when I get there, how happy I'll be. My home's in heaven, the rent is free. For Jesus paid it on Calvary. Is your home in heaven? My home's in heaven. By the way, when does heaven really begin? When does it begin? It begins right now. If you and I have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, heaven has begun. When we said yes to Christ as our personal Savior, we have begun to experience heaven by faith. Heaven by faith. However, at his appearing, when Jesus comes again, we will experience not only the benefits of heaven that we know now, but we will have heaven by sight. That's the real thing. That's the real thing. And my sermon today is about heaven by faith now, and by then, heaven by sight. Oh, I'm excited in sharing this message with you today, because we know what it's like as Christians to have heaven by faith now, but to know what heaven by sight is going to be like, all that will be glory for me and for you. Amen. I want you to notice in your bulletins the sermon outline today. If you picked up the bulletin, you have the sermon outline, and there's a diagram there, and I would like to have us follow through that. In fact, I want to encourage you to take these sermon outlines, stick them in your Bible, review them. That way you'll hold on to the message and it becomes a part of you. And you'll notice in that diagram there are two sections. There's the first advent, and then there are some thoughts underneath that, the scriptures and some thoughts. And then there's a second advent, scriptures and some thoughts. And I want for us to take a look just for a moment at the first advent. Jesus Christ came the first time. He has come and he's gone to heaven. He's come the first time. And what Jesus did for you and me in his life and his death and resurrection is awesome. It is awesome. What you and I now can have through what he has done for us through the gospel by faith. Now take a look at it, your outline. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. It says there in that scripture that when Jesus Christ came at his first advent, he visited us and redeemed his people. And then Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says that he saved his people from their sins. And Daniel, the 9th chapter in verse 24, it indicates there that he brought in everlasting righteousness. All of this happened when Jesus Christ came the first time, his first advent. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 14. It says that by one offering, the offering of his life, his death, perfected, we are, through him, perfected those who are sanctified. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, in verse 26, says that Jesus put away sin. Isn't that great? 2 Timothy, chapter 1, in verse 10, tells us that Jesus abolished death. And he brought in life and immortality. This is good news. This is the good news of the gospel, that through the redemptive acts of our Savior, Jesus Christ, God has given to you and to me. What has he given to us? Redemption, salvation, righteousness, perfection. And in Jesus Christ, we already, it's been done away with, sin, and has abolished death and given us the gift of life and immortality. Now, as you look at that diagram, you'll notice that you and I are living between the two Advents. We're living between the first Advent and the second Advent. And according to the scriptures of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, calls the time that we're living in what? What is it called? The last days. We are living in the last days. How many here believe that we're living in the last days of Earth's history? Praise the Lord. Not only do we see it from the Word of God, but we see the evidence of it all around us. We are living in the last days. And as you're turning with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, let me say once again that God has given to you and He's given to me every blessing in Jesus Christ, every blessing. The blessing of redemption and salvation and righteousness and perfection and life and immortality. We have all of these blessings now, right now, even as I speak, by faith in Jesus Christ. Heaven has begun, and we are experiencing it now by faith. However, listen carefully. That does not mean that we have these blessings as qualities within us, within ourselves, but rather they are outside of us in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is our redemption. Amen? Christ is our salvation. Christ is our righteousness by faith. You've heard Pastor Ken many times say, righteousness by faith. Christ is our righteousness by faith. Christ is our life. And where is Jesus Christ by now? Why? Where is He, by the way, right now? He's in heaven, isn't He? He is at heaven at the right hand of God the Father. And as you've opened your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, notice what it says there. Concerning Jesus Christ, the whole context is speaking of Jesus, and verse 4 says this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. Now, everybody repeat after me. Doesn't matter what your translation is. What does it say? Reserved in heaven for you. Those of you that mark your Bibles, I want to encourage you to underline or circle that little phrase. Reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved in heaven for you. All of these blessings that I've just mentioned, they are reserved in heaven for you in Jesus Christ. And so heaven and all of its blessings are ours now by faith. Reserved in heaven for you. Now, take for example, by faith, by trusting in Jesus Christ, by faith, we can know that we are redeemed. But I will be the first to admit that my senses and my surroundings, sometimes it seems to deny that fact. And yet I know on the basis of God's Word that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again. I have redemption by faith in Him. And it's also a matter of faith to confess that our sins have been abolished and the old man is crucified with Christ. And we need to hold on to that by faith because, friends, I know there are times if you're honest, and I want to be honest with you as I stand before you, the new nature that's within me also battles against the old nature. And it's very real in me. And we must believe this. Because it is ours now by faith. By faith. Jesus Christ has also, He's abolished death. Can you imagine that? He has abolished death. We know it now by faith and only by faith. We only know it by faith. Because every one of us all too well knows that Christians die. And not only Christians die, but everybody else dies. And it requires faith to confess that death has been destroyed when death appears to be triumphant and victorious on every side, isn't it? And what about righteousness? What about righteousness? Are you and I, as Christians, righteous without taint, without sin? No. And we are now righteous before God only by faith. By faith, not in our righteousness, but by faith in Christ's righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. Our righteousness is in the person of Jesus Christ in heaven, in Him. And what about life and immortality? What about that? Would you go with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. Well, the truth is we do not even possess immortality. The Bible says that we are mortal. You remember reading that in the Scriptures? We're mortal. We're subject to death. We do not possess a death-proof substance in our nature. And so how do we now, right now, as I speak, this very moment, how do we now have immortality? Now. Well, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, speaking of Jesus Christ. You want to look at the full context. But just notice the phrase, speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, who alone has what? Immortality. That's right. As with all the other blessings, friends, our immortality is not in us, but it's in Him, Jesus Christ. He is our immortality. We have immortality now by faith. Faith in Christ, who is our life and our immortality. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go there in our Bibles. Ephesians, the first chapter. So glad you brought your Bibles. And if you have a neighbor nearby that doesn't have one, please share. We're wanting to be in the Word of God again today. Now, I realize as the world would understand riches, they would think that we are very poor. But friends, as Christian believers, we are rich. We are rich in Jesus Christ. We are rich indeed. The Bible says, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, you remember, he says that all of these blessings we have are reserved for us in Christ, in the bank of heaven, reserved for us. We are rich. We are rich indeed in Christ, who is our redemption, Christ, who is our salvation, Christ, who is our righteousness, Christ, who is our perfection. In Christ, He is our life in our immortality. We have all of these riches by faith in Jesus Christ right now. By the way, have you ever met a millionaire? Raise your hand if you ever met a millionaire. I think I have. Well, the millionaires that I've met, maybe just count two or three, never have I ever known that they've kept all their money in their bank. At least they have some of their money with them, right? Some of their riches with them. By the way, so is it with you and me as Christians and believers in Jesus Christ. We are rich, and we have some of our riches in us. God has made it that way. And so as you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, notice where some of our riches are. In Him, that is in Jesus, you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the what? What does it say there? The Holy Spirit of promise. Now, where are our riches? Notice this. Who, speaking of the Holy Spirit, is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Now let me try to explain why, friends, we are rich now. We are rich because in Christ we have all of our riches in Jesus Christ, but we have some of our riches in us through the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. He, according to the Scriptures, is the down payment of what we have in Jesus. He is the guarantee, the deposit of what we already have in Christ. And so through the power of the Spirit of God, as He dwells within us, we can come to know Jesus now. We can come to become like Jesus now By the way, this side of the second coming of Jesus Christ, can you have victory over sin? Yes! Amen! By the power of the Spirit of God, you can. But friends, where are our full riches now? Where is our righteousness now? Where is our perfection in our immortality now? It's in Jesus. In Jesus, in heaven. And I praise God for the down payment. But friends, that's the down payment. Our real riches are in heaven in Jesus Christ. Now, listen carefully. Go to column number 2. You see it there in your notes? Column number 2. The second advent. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Friends, it is true without question. The best is yet to come. Because you see, the blessed hope of the Christian, the second coming of Christ, the appearing, whatever it says in Scripture that identifies that event, it is simply the unveiling of what we already have through the good news of the gospel. When Jesus Christ comes again, friends, God's people will no longer have these blessings by faith. They will become a reality. Oh, what a day that will be. What a tremendous, awesome day that will be. Are you looking forward to that day? Raise your hand if you are. If you're longing for that day. I'm longing for that day. Because you see, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, the second advent is the day of redemption. It is a day of redemption. You know, it's like this. It's like we had part of redemption now by faith. We do. But at his second coming, we're going to get the whole thing, reality, by sight. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, it tells us that Christ will appear a second time to bring salvation to those who are watching for him. Friends, salvation is ours right now by faith. But at his appearing, it will be fully disclosed, fully disclosed. And according to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, all who love his appearing will receive the crown of righteousness. In effect, what we're saying here in essence is this, like Adam and Eve were righteous inherently within themselves before sin, so it will be with you and me at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Also, at his second coming, according to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse 40, all believers will be made perfect. Isn't that going to be awesome? They're going to be made perfect at his appearing. That is certainly not the case right now, but it is appearing. We will be made perfect. And praise the Lord. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 56, promises that God's people will put off their sinful mortal state. You know what that means? That means that there'll be no more death. We will no longer be mortal. We will be what? Immortal. That is certainly not the case right now. By faith in Christ, who is our immortality, we are immortal. Through him. But we're immortal right now. Romans, the 8th chapter. Would you go there with me in your Bibles? Romans chapter 8. Now I want you to get this. At his appearing, we will have all of these blessings. All the blessings that I've mentioned to you from the Word of God here. But in a different way than we do right now. In a different way. God's people are righteous before God now, and they will be righteous before God then, but not in the same way. Now we are fully righteous by faith, and then we will be fully righteous inherently by sight. Whew. Now our perfection is in Christ, who is up in heaven, but then it will be disclosed. Notice what the Bible says. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that hopeful good news? Hopeful good news? The appearing of Jesus Christ, The second coming of Jesus Christ, friends, it is, as it were, God's cosmic unveiling. His cosmic unveiling. Just think about it. Now we know by faith, but then by sight, the real thing, the real thing. Oh, that will be glory, glory for me. I want you to come with me. We're going to take a few moments, put our imagination glasses on, okay? We're going to move away from just our thoughts of what it's like now by faith. We're going to enter into what it's going to be like by sight when Jesus comes again. And I want to share with us God's cosmic unveiling in the form of, well, simple questions and answers. And here's question number one, the first one. Does heaven begin by sight when we die? Or when Jesus comes again? Got your Bibles? Let's go to our Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Like you, I've been to a few funerals in my life. Unlike you, maybe I've been to more funerals than you. But as I've been to funerals and you've been to funerals, and some of us, very recent, we've been to some, you've been with your friends and your loved ones, and some of them might have said something like this to you as they talk with you. They say, well, they're gone to be with the Lord. Ever said that to you before? They've gone to be with the Lord. I've got a question for you. Where is the Lord Jesus right now? Where is he right now? He's in heaven, right. And so the question is this, do people really go right to heaven when they die? Now think about this. Listen carefully. According to the Bible, Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, the blessed hope of the Christian is what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. But is the blessed hope of the Christian only for living Christians? Or is it for all Christians? All Christians. You see, both those who are alive at his coming, both, and those who have died in Christ, it is the blessed hope of the Christian. Let's read it for ourselves. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, those familiar words, verses 13 through 16. Wonderful, promising words. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. There's a lot of ignorance out there concerning those who have fallen asleep. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Friends, we can have hope. Notice why. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. How's that going to happen? Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. And what does it say? Please help me out. And the dead in Christ will rise first. There is no mention here of saints coming from heaven. No mention there. But it does mention here in this passage that the dead saints are going to be rising third or fourth or fifth. When? First. First. Right. Oh, but let's continue the promise, verses 17 and 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, or in the air, in the Lord, excuse me, in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And I love this last part. Therefore, and it says in the Greek this way, continue to comfort one another with these words. And so the correct picture, friends, the correct picture from Scripture is that Jesus Christ is returning from heaven, and the dead and the living saints are to be caught up in the air together, together. Not one group at death and the other group when Jesus comes again, the living. No, no. But both groups at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. If Christians go to heaven immediately when they die, then the blessed hope when heaven begins by sight is not at the second coming, but it's at death. But I open my Bible as you've opened your Bible, and the Bible clearly teaches that heaven begins by sight, not at death, but at the second coming of Jesus Christ, because that truly is the blessed hope of a Christian, all Christians, whether they're alive or they have died. Here's my second question. Why do Christians really desire to be changed at His appearing? I don't know about you. I know you do too. I long to be changed. I want to be changed. As you turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, is there anyone here today who have you groaned lately? Have you sighed lately? I mean, friends, we have. Have you groaned inside? In the conditions of the world, the conditions of our lives. Every day, friends, we see the results of sin all around us. Another car accident, another person, you hear they have cancer and some incurable disease, another funeral, another death. How many here today have had a loved one or a dear friend pass away within the last year or two? Raise your hand if that's been the case. A good many of you, maybe most of you here. You groaned, didn't you? You sighed. We groan because we are reminded every day that we still live in the land of the enemy. We groan because of the pains of old age. Anybody groaning because of the pains of old age? I've visited your homes. I know that's happening. The handful of pills that we take just to get through the day. We groan. We groan as we hear of the natural disasters in our own country, in Myanmar and in China. We groan. And the Apostle Paul describes that groaning. Romans the 8th chapter and verse 22. Everybody there? For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now, even to this very day. Nature groans, even animals and all creation groans because this world that we live in, as much as I love this world and nature around us, it's sick. It's suffering the results of sin. And even as I speak, nature sighs, nature groans in anticipation, longing for the day when it will be restored. Praise the Lord for that. But it's not over yet. The passage continues on in verse 23. What does it say? And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, what does it say? Groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So not only creation groans, but we groan within ourselves, friends. Yes, even as Christian believers, we groan. We said yes to Jesus Christ, and yet we were adopted into His family. It's good to be a part of His family. It's good to be a part of His body. And yet we're waiting. We're waiting for the full adoption. The full adoption of the full benefits. We have been redeemed, yes, and we have accepted salvation through Jesus Christ, yes, and yet we groan. Why do we groan? We're longing for the full redemption, the redemption of our bodies. Yes, we now by faith have right standing with God. And by His Holy Spirit, we have a new heart and a new mind and seeking to serve Christ instead of self, enabling us to have victory over sin. Yes, even this side, the second coming of Christ. But friends, we are still housed. We are still housed in this same old body with all of its twinges towards temptation, with all of its twinges towards disease. Is there anyone out here who can relate to this? But as we go now to verses 24 and 25, the Bible says this, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." What is these verses saying? I would like to ask it in the form of a question or a statement. Have you noticed about you and my life that anyone, if we have hope in Christ, if we have hope in the blessed hope, we can handle almost anything. We can stick in there and not give up. And so we're waiting. We're waiting patiently in the hope of a completed salvation. And again, the Bible calls this hope of the Christian what? The blessed hope of the Christian. The blessed hope. And when you and I hope in the blessed hope, it keeps us waiting with endurance. It keeps us waiting with expectation. Friends, this is something to get excited about. This is something to get excited about. All that we now have by faith and hope for will be ours by sight. You see, when 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53 takes place, it is then that we will truly experience God's cosmic unveiling. When all that we know now by faith will be ours by sight, and then these mortal bodies of ours will put on immortality. And we will be changed, friends. We will be changed. Not with the cancer or the disease that took us to the grave. Oh no, not with the scar from an accident that we had. Not with the loss of a leg or an arm. No. But with a restored health and beautiful bodies, free from sorrow, free from sin, free from pain. The best is yet to come. A book in my library, volume 3 of Selected Messages, page 430 and 431, the Christian writer says it this way. The life giver is coming to break the fetters of the tomb. He is to bring forth the captives and proclaim, I am the resurrection and the life. There stands the risen host. Oh, that will be awesome to see that too. The last thought was of death and its pangs. The last thoughts they had were the grave and the tomb. But now they proclaim, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The pangs of death were the last things they felt. When they awake, the pain is all gone. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Here they stand, and a finishing touch of immortality is put upon them, and they go up to meet the Lord in the air. Praise the Lord for that statement. Great Controversy, page 644. All arise with freshness and vigor and eternal youth. My friends, it is then that we will experience indeed heaven by sight. Heaven by sight. I want to take one more question, and then we'll close. When Jesus comes again, when God changes us, what are we going to see? What are we going to see? I'll tell you this, the answer to this is we're going to see something that we can't see right now. We're going to see some things we can't see right now. Oh, I long to see these things, but we can't see them right now. We can see them by faith. But I long for the day when it'll be by sight. Matthew chapter 25. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Friends, first of all, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, every eye will see who? Him, Jesus Christ. We are going to see Jesus. Today we cannot see him, even though we know him by faith, and praise God for that. Because to see Jesus Christ now, with his unveiled glory, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, in verse 24, he is, as it were, a consuming fire. But when Jesus comes again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15 says, at the twinkling of an eye, we will be what? Changed. Praise God. It is then we will see Jesus by sight, face to face, face to face. But notice what else we're going to see. Notice what else. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all of his what? Holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. We're going to see our angels. The angelic army. What an awesome sight that will be, friends. What an awesome sight. Right now, friends, we can't see Jesus. We can only see him by faith, and by faith we can get to know him through his word. Right now, we can only sense the presence of our angels, and I've sensed their presence of God's angels and my angel, and I'm looking forward to seeing my angel someday. But at his appearing, we're going to be changed, and we're going to be able to see Jesus face to face. We're going to be able to meet our own angel. We'll see the angelic army. Oh, what a day that will be. But guess who else we're going to see when Jesus comes again? We don't see them now, friends. We don't. But we're going to see them then. Guess who? Our loved ones and our friends who have died in Christ. I'm looking out in the congregation right now. I see smiles on your face because you're longing for that day too. I'm going to see my mom and my dad. And I've preached here for enough time, 5.5 years, and I've seen many people that are no longer in these pews. They've died in Jesus. We're going to see them again. We can name, their names are on our tips of the tongues because they're so much a part of us. Now maybe we saw them for the last time at their deathbed, and we attended their funeral believing in the blessed hope of the Christian. And by faith we looked at that lifeless body, believing in the promises of the Word of God. And we've read some of those promises today. And to this very day, we continue to comfort each other with these promises. But when Jesus comes again, that which we long for, that which we trusted His Word for, that which we expected and anticipated, friends, it's going to happen. They're going to come forth from their graves. And if I'm alive at that time, I'll tell you what, if I had a choice, I would like to be near a graveyard, a cemetery at that time. If I had a choice, I'd like to be there to see the dead in Christ come forth. Praise the Lord for that. Listen to this, Great Controversy, page 645. The living righteous are changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. At the voice of God, they were glorified. Now they are made immortal. And with the risen saints are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Angels gather together, the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, listen to this. Little children are born by holy angels to their mother's arms. Friends, long separated by death, are united, never more depart. And with songs of gladness, they ascend together to the city of God. Truly, that will be a heavenly sight. Amen? That will be a heavenly, heavenly sight. Friends, right now it's by faith. The just shall live by faith. By faith, not in our righteousness, but by faith in Christ our righteousness. But hold on, friends, hold on. Continue to trust in Jesus Christ. Continue to live for Jesus Christ. Continue to wait for Jesus Christ with great expectation, because the day is coming for the great unveiling. The great unveiling. Redemption will then be by sight. Redemption, salvation will be by sight. Righteousness will be by sight. Perfection will be by sight. And sin will be put away. And death will be totally abolished. And life and immortality will be ours. Oh, to be heavenly minded. Oh, to be heavenly minded. I'm drawn to this song. Would you sing with me? Hymn number 435. The glory song, hymn number 435.
When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory. Be glory for me.
Last stanza.
Friends will be there I have loved long ago. joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. Your word is true. Your word not only shares urgency and warning, but hope and encouragement. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You came the first time. You lived and died and rose again. We put our trust in You by faith. And we thank You for all the awesome promises we now have by faith. But Lord, we long for the full salvation. We long for the completed redemption. We long for it. We groan for it. And so, Lord Jesus, touch our hearts today to know that that which we know by faith, the real, is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen.